Well, good morning, everybody. If you came in late, my name is Trevor Kaufman, and I am the campus pastor here at South Creek. We're a campus of Revive, and I'm excited to be here with you this morning. And we are concluding today our Heart Check series. This is our Commitment Sunday, and so we've sort of built up to this moment, and we'll do a special commitment time at the end of service that I'll explain a little bit later. But if you're new and you haven't maybe been with us for the course of the past few weeks, we are checking our hearts to see, is there anything in our life that is sort of competing for the place in our heart? And one of the things that can often be in the way of what God wants to do in our lives and allowing us to truly live free is how we look at our resources, our time, our talents, and even our finances. And so we've been looking at that, kind of an uncomfortable subject at times, but it's important that we talk about it. We learned a couple weeks ago that Jesus cares about every single aspect of our life, and that includes how we deal with and how we manage our finances and our resources and how we look to the kingdom with that in mind. And so we're going to continue doing that today. We're going to do that together. And I'm going to open this week by saying together, we're going to speak together the Lord's Prayer, something we don't often do, but we are going to recite that together. And so if you know that, join along. If not, it will be on the screens for you as well. So let's pray this together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we continue this morning, I pray that you would work in and through our hearts, that your spirit would unite each and every one of us in this room as we can go forward and participate with what you are already doing through your Holy Spirit as we conclude Heart Check this morning. Lord, if there's anything that is said this morning that is not of you, that is not from your spirit, I pray that it would not even enter our minds, our ears, our hearts, but that it would all come from you. We love you and praise you. And we ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So over the course of the past few weeks, we've been looking at Paul's letter to Timothy. And Paul was really encouraging Timothy how to grow in his young leadership. Timothy was a disciple, sort of an apprentice of Paul. Paul, as you know, wrote most of the New Testament. He was like the first missionary that really exploded the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout that region. And so Timothy was being trained up underneath him. And Paul understood and realized that there were going to be many things that would compete for his heart, and his resources would be one of those things. And so he's encouraging both Timothy and the people that Timothy is going to be leading with this letter specifically. Now, today is going to be a bit of a summary of what we've looked at over the course of the past few weeks. But I think summarizing things is very important. And we'll share some new insight and some new points as we discuss this morning. But it's important that maybe we need to hear things over and over again. In fact, Jesus himself would often teach and demonstrate through repetition as he preached and shared the news of who he was and what he was there to do. And so repetition is important. And so you're going to hear some things that you may have already heard this week or this past month, but we're going to dive in a little deeper in some different areas as well. So it's going to be a good time together. But I want to begin by reading 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 18. We touched on these verses, again, the first week we got together. But let me reread what we have read in the past. It says this: Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, we learned several things throughout that over the course of the past few weeks, and one of those things was simply this: to be humble. To be humble. It says right in the beginning, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. He puts it in this terminology of being arrogant. Another way to say it, which we've said in the past, is to be humble, in order to put their hope in wealth. And so the way we see that, and I think we speak, and Paul speaks to this arrogance because we all can kind of fall into this once in a while. And let me tell you, it's okay to be confident in the things that we have done. It's okay to be confident in the things that we have achieved in life. And maybe we have, in a very healthy way, in a wise way, managed our finances, managed our talents and our gifts and our resources, and that is a good thing. That is okay. We can be confident in that. confident in that. And so maybe you're confident in something you created. Maybe you're really good at doing a certain task. Maybe you're confident in your children and you're proud of how you've raised them and how you have partnered with the church and God to raise your children. Maybe you're confident in some sort of a hidden talent that you have. Maybe you're confident in the way you host people in your home. It could be a variety of different things. I'm confident in several things that I do around the house. I learn as I go, but it's good to look at the work that I've done and be happy with that and be confident in that. And so maybe, we see God the Father be confident in his creation back in Genesis. He creates the heavens and the earth and says, this is good. And then he creates humanity. He creates you and I, and he says, this is very good. He was confident. He was proud of what he did. But the difference is this. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance. I often tell young leaders as they are growing up and they are becoming better and better at some sort of a certain task or gift that they've been given, to not cross that line into arrogance. Because what arrogance does is it takes this confidence to the next level of inappropriateness. And all of a sudden, now that thing that we are confident in all of a sudden becomes and can become our identity. Where we find our value and where we find our worth is in these things that we are good at doing. Arrogance leaves us overly proud and gives us this feeling of superiority and looking down on others. It leaves us unteachable. It also puts us in a place where we cannot receive help from others or even from God himself. So arrogance is very dangerous, and Paul understood this and knew this, and he was teaching this to Timothy. And Peter reminds us of this in 1 Peter 5:5. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humility is important to have when it comes to all aspects of our life. When we are truly living a life of humility, especially when it comes to our possessions and our achievements, it becomes easier for us to live out the next portion of this verse that Paul teaches us, to not put our hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Again, this is a little bit of repetition from what we've heard over the course of the past few weeks. We cannot put our hope in the things that are temporary. And here's the thing, it's a temptation to do that, especially as we earn more, as we acquire more stuff, as the value of our investments increase. Then what indirectly happens without us even really doing it on purpose is that our need to trust in God decreases. Our need to actually place our faith and our trust and our hope in God the Father decreases, because all of a sudden we find ourselves being able to do all of these things for ourselves. One of the things that we do through Heart Check, and we'll learn more about this later on in a meeting that I'll let you know about in just a minute, is we send teams overseas to participate on missions trips. And we're starting to do that into the city as well, but we send teams overseas into third world countries oftentimes, and one of the most common takeaways that people take away as they come back to the States is the fact that the people that they were ministering to, the people that they were ministering along with, truly understood what it meant to put their hope and their faith and their trust in God. Because in certain areas of the world, it's not really possible to acquire all of this wealth on your own. It's difficult to do that. And so when I was over in Zambia on several occasions, it's amazing to see people truly understand the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed together. To give us today our daily bread. They truly depend on the Lord to provide for them food each and every day. To provide for the provision through their crops to grow. Through work to be able to sustain their children, to be able to go to school. And to deliver them from the evil one. So they pray the Lord's Prayer and they actually mean it. And sometimes we pray it or we say it or we think it, but we don't fully understand the reality of what it means. We are declaring and placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because in the West, over here, we don't have to do that. If we're hungry, we can just simply DoorDash it and it'll be on our doorstep in minutes. If we're sick, we go to the doctor and almost immediately are given a prescription for something. We can get whatever we want, whenever we want it, at a moment's notice. And so it's very easy for us to lose and misunderstand the fact that we do truly need to place our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. I don't know what a better source of security is. Is it God's nature, his unchanging foundational grace and love, or is it our abilities? And it's easy to sort of fall into this our abilities mindset because we can touch it, we can feel it, we can handle it, we can hold it, we can earn it, but it will not last into eternity. It will not last forever. The things that we own, the beautiful things that we own, the wealth that we've acquired will one day fade away and be given to somebody else. But our eternal security in Jesus Christ will never end. And that is where our worth and our value and security needs to be placed. That's why Jesus says on the eve of his death in John 14:1, he says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And what Jesus is speaking to in this moment is this idea of trust that we've been talking about. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to making a heart check commitment, like we've been talking about over the course of the past few weeks, it really is boiling down to how do we trust? In two aspects, really, we're placing our trust. First and foremost, and most importantly, we're placing our trust in Jesus Christ. We are placing our trust in him that our talents, our time, and our financial resources, whatever that may be, whatever that we feel we are committing to, that we trust that the Lord can actually do more than we can with it. There is a massive amount of trust in that. I completely understand that. I completely relate to that and completely relate to the fact that it is difficult at times to place our trust in there. But Jesus is calling us to be not troubled, to place our trust in him with every aspect of our lives, including our finances. So first, we trust that God can do more with what we have than we can do ourselves. Secondly, we are truly, honestly asking you to trust the local church, to trust Revive Wesleyan, that the resources that you surrender will in fact go where we tell you they will go. And I'm telling you, having done this for 15, almost 20 years now, that is the fact, that is the truth. It's incredible the partnerships that we have around the world, in the city of Buffalo, and even locally. And it's beautiful to see how we can participate with the Holy Spirit in what God is doing in these ministries, even through our finances, that are given honestly and authentically to these organizations. But here's the best part about Heart Check. The best part about it that I've learned from experience over years is that our commitment to our partner ministries around the world, in the city, and in the community are not simply a financial transaction. That is the last thing we want them to be. They are truly a transformational transaction. We want our congregation to be a part of what's going on in these ministries. We don't want to just hand them a check and be like, you do with it what you need to do. We'll trust that you'll do it the right thing. We want to be engaged in ministry with them. And so all of our partners, we have tangible touch points with them. We actually looked over the course of the past year or two at a couple ministries that through circumstances, we just weren't able to connect on a transformational level. And so we actually have cut funding to certain organizations because of that. We do not want this to simply be a financial transaction. The finances help move them forward, yes, but we want to be a part of that with them. And that's what I love about Heart Check. And I hope that you would be excited about that too. And to understand the fact that lives are being changed for the glory of God as we continue our partnership with them. And it's our prayer that you're able to see this and that you're able to and want to participate in this as you commit in this partnership. So, as we humbly place our trust in God, then we are freed to do what is in the rest of verse 17 in 1 Timothy 6, to be hopeful. It says this, to put our hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, this is an interesting part because given our human brokenness and the curse of sin that we've talked about in the past, even financial success for us can be dangerous because our greed can all of a sudden cloud our thinking. Now, let me explain a little bit what I'm talking about. There's often out there what's known as the prosperity gospel, right? You probably heard this before. We do not preach this. We do not believe in this. The prosperity gospel is this idea and concept that if you're doing the right thing, if you're in the right relationship with God, then he will richly bless you with finances and wealth. In fact, in third world countries, like I've just mentioned, even in Zambia, right across the street from their local base, is a church that actually preaches this concept of prosperity. And they preach that if you are poor, if you are in poverty, you have clearly done something wrong. God is angry and upset with you if you're living in poverty. That is not true. That is not the gospel. And that is not the way Jesus lived his life. I mean, think about it. Jesus himself was not financially wealthy. He probably had the robe on his back, maybe a couple of carpentry tools, and he went from town to town depending on others in a healthy and proper way. We cannot read the New Testament and come to the conclusion that we are supposed to be, that God wants us to be financially wealthy. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be whole in every aspect of our lives, and that may include our finances. Now, also, don't hear me wrong. We learned a couple weeks ago that money itself is not evil. Money itself is not bad. If you're in this room and you're financially independent and you have a good amount of money, that's okay. That's fine. God has blessed you with that. The issue comes when we turn that money into a love of money and we want more and more and we will do anything to get it. There is a difference. There is a big difference. It's okay to have money. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm also saying that if we don't have money, God still loves us and wants to work in and through us. And he doesn't want us to even wait to be generous. He wants us to truly be hopeful in the things that we have and be hopeful in the things that we do not have. And so, yeah, we look at this verse and it says to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Yes, God wants us to be rich, but he wants us to be rich in love, rich in grace, rich in good deeds, rich in important relationships. That is where this richness comes into place. That is what he wants for each and every one of us. And those are the very things that Jesus himself was rich in. When we pursue the Father in humility and we place our hope in him, we can then apply what Paul continues to tell us in verse 18. He says this: command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. He's saying, listen, Timothy, for you and the people that you are going to teach, if you have resources, money, time, abilities, relationships, use them to do good. And sometimes, oftentimes, you and I both, we think about doing good, but then we never actually do it. We think, oh, the next time I pass somebody that's on the side of the street, I'll give them something, or I'll pray with them, or I'll do something really good. I'll buy them a meal, and we never actually do it. Or I'll reach out to my coworker at some point. I'll ask them out to go to coffee. I'll have a conversation with them. We never do it. We think about it. We have good intentions, but we never do it. If we're in school, we'll reach out to that student that's sitting at the table alone. We never actually do it. The idea that we are to do good, and Paul is saying, be rich in good deeds. You want to be rich? You want to be healthy? Good. Then be rich in good deeds. Can we look back at our life and see a trail of goodness? Now, again, I need to add another caveat to this, what I'm saying here. I'm explaining the fact that it's important to do good. I am not saying that we do good to earn our salvation. I'm not saying that. That's this works righteousness mentality that we do all of these things, we check all of these boxes, and then we earn our place in heaven. That is not what this is. That is not what Paul is telling Timothy to do. It's not what we are told to do. Yes, we are to do good, but we do good as an outflow and an overflow and an outpouring of the fact that we have already been in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that he already paid the debt, and through his grace, we even have the ability to place our faith and trust in him. Because when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, when we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we have entered into this beautiful relationship. We have been adopted into his family. And there's nothing we can do to earn that. But when we enter into that relationship, it doesn't stop there. It's the beginning of a beautiful journey. And as we walk through life on that journey, the natural byproduct should be that we do good deeds, that we do good things. Doing good is a byproduct of the beautiful gift of salvation that we have already received. Doing good does not earn us that salvation. Make sure you understand that difference as we're continuing this morning. So Paul is encouraging Timothy, he's encouraging you and I to be generous and willing to share with what we have. Interestingly enough, when it comes to being generous, sometimes it takes planning. And I don't know about you, but many times we go on vacations and we put all of planning into it. I just actually returned from a motorcycle trip this past weekend, and it was beautiful, it was gorgeous, and one of the guys that we went with took a ton of time planning out each and every stop, where we were going to stay, where we were going to eat, and the route that we would take. It was beautiful, it was incredible. He's been planning it for like a year. My family and I are getting ready to go this summer out west to the West Coast, and we're trying to finish up visiting all 48 states. Hopefully we'll get to that. Hopefully nothing happens and we'll actually conclude that this summer. So we're excited about that. But there has been a massive amount of planning going into that trip. In fact, I started planning it like 3 or 4 years ago because we planned to go the year COVID hit. So we had to cancel that. Now we're trying again this year, and maybe gas prices are going to literally stop us in our tracks. I don't know. But we're going to try. But lots of planning goes into that. But as I'm doing this, I have to think to myself, how am I planning out my finances? How am I planning out my financial investments and how I am to use those for the glory of God to the church? I mean, when was the last time I mapped out how I'm going to be generous to others and to the church? And that's partially what we are doing together in Heart Check. We want to actually ask ourselves that question. And so I've been asking myself that question. My wife and I have sat down. We've talked about what is it that we can give. And again, we talked a few weeks ago about the difference between tithing to the local church and giving, offering above and beyond that, which is where Heart Check falls. And again, I'll say this again, and I'll say it a little bit later again. We don't want you just removing what you give to the local church and then putting it into Heart Check. That's not what we're asking. We're asking that you would ask God, is there anything more above and beyond that you would like to give towards this pledge? So that's where we're at this morning. But have we done that? Have we thought through that? We talked about last, or 2 weeks ago, not waiting to be generous. This idea or this concept of thinking, you know, someday when I'm financially secure and I paid off every single debt, that's when I'll be generous. Generosity, here's the thing though, it changes everything in us. In good ways, it frees us to trust God and love others. It loosens our grip on our possessions. It brings joy to our Father. It opens a door for God to be part of every aspect of our lives, even and including our finances. And so I know, it's challenging, it's hard. I admitted a couple weeks ago, I didn't want to preach this series. I'm speaking to myself just as much as I'm speaking to you. But I want to encourage you to be generous. Don't wait to be generous with your time, your talents, and your resources. And it doesn't have to be an overwhelming amount. But commit to take a step forward in generosity in some way, shape, or form. And there's a few options on how to do that. We'll talk through those in just a little bit. But in summary, to summarize every aspect of Heart Check, what we learned over the course of today and over the course of the past few weeks is to simply be humble, to not become arrogant, and to put our hope and our trust in the wealth and the things that we can do on our own. We learned to be hopeful and to trust God who richly provides for us, and to relax with the things that we don't have. And we've learned to be generous and willing to share what God has given us, whether it's time, talents, resources, or all of it. Participating in Heart Check is a perfect way to begin stepping into this reality. And again, I've said this as well over the course of the past few weeks. We are not asking you to give. We're not forcing you to give. We do not want you to give out of guilt. We want you to give with a free and generous heart. It is not a guilt thing. If you can't, that's okay. The Lord is in love with you, overwhelmingly in love with you, regardless. But he's asking and wanting you to live a life of freedom in which you can actually let go of some of those resources, whether it's time, talents, or finances. We want to give out of freedom, that we live a free life. Because God has loved us in such gracious and generous ways, we want to give to others. And Paul himself summarizes all that we've talked about as well. He summarizes it in verse 19, 1 Timothy 6, verse 19, he says this, "In this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." I love that last phrase. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So many times we try and build our lives on our own. We don't ask for God to help. We don't surrender any aspect of our lives, and we're trying to build our own empire with whatever that is, with our talents, our resources, however that looks. We're trying to do it on our own, but that's not the true free life that God wants us to experience. He wants us to live the life that is truly life, a life of freedom, where we're not gripping and holding on to everything around us. And again, similar to the works righteousness mentality that we can't earn our way into heaven by doing good deeds, we, through heart check and through our tithes and offerings, we are not buying our way into heaven. Please do not hear that either. That is not what's happening. We are not doing that. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us, first and foremost. And again, this is an overflow and an outpouring of our hearts as we are living free. When we are humble and grateful, when we place our trust in God, and then we are free to be content, to enjoy what God provides for us when we do good, when we are rich in good deeds, when we are generous, we are taking hold of the good life that God has for us. We are imitating our generous Father to others around us. So there's so many things to do as we participate in the kingdom of God, and maybe through heart check. We trust in God. We enjoy what he provides. We do good, be generous, and take hold of the life that is truly life. In just a minute, I will explain the commitment card and how we are going to do this commitment time with each other together. But before we do, I want you to check out a powerful video of a few people in our church who have gone out and sort of done what we've been talking about. And this video explains it well as they have stepped forward into what God has called them to do. Two different couples will be in this video, and I would encourage you to check this out as we continue. And then I'll come back up and give us some directives as we move forward.
We think about the Billy Grahams of the world and people that are famous, and they get books written about them and everything. And, oh, well, I'd never be like that. So you kind of think doing those things is not something you can do. But when we go on the mission field, we'll meet other missionaries, other people doing really exciting, creative things for the kingdom of God.
I'm Annie McCune, my husband Lee McCune, and we've been attending Revive for about 9 years, and we're here because we want to make sure all of you get excited about Heart Check and what God can do with each and every one of us through that.
When we first went on our first trip, our youngest was 5 years old and our oldest, I believe, was 12, and it was our summer vacation. So my limited time off and our resources went into this trip where we went to Honduras. I was introduced to the Haiti work that the Shainers were working on by Denny Willis that knew about what we were doing in Honduras. And he had us get together at Spot Coffee and learn about their vision.
I'm Judy Shainer, and this is my husband, Tom Shainer. We've been attending Revive Wesleyan for approximately 6 years. And we're here to share an amazing story with you that has changed our lives and has also changed the lives of over 100 children and families in the remote village of Bailo, Haiti.
Well, shortly after retiring in 2012, I attended my first short-term mission, and I met a man named Pastor Reginald Constant. Pastor Constant invited me to see his school. 60 students were finding an education in that school, and that inspired me.
Of course, the children were beautiful and wonderful, but the starkness of the classrooms and the lack of basic supplies, things that you would take for granted as a teacher, especially with the little ones, just toys and blocks and books and crayons, there were none of that. There were a few children that were having a snack, maybe a banana or a piece of bread, and I asked Pastor Reginald if it was snack time, and he said, no, this is our lunch. He had said that very few parents are able to send anything to eat. And my heart became very heavy and an overwhelming sadness, of course. But I also felt this indescribable desire and urge that I would act upon this from the Holy Spirit.
We had no experience in forming a mission, so to speak, so we surrounded ourselves with mentors and friends and people of like mind, and together we navigated things that had to be accomplished.
Tom and Judy were just starting. They were going on, like we started, as their own vacation, but they wanted to grow. They wanted to be able to raise funds, and we had already been through a lot of that. We built a school. So I said, hey, come on the board of Storehouse, and we can run all the finances through us, and when you're ready to go out on your own, then go out on your own.
We're just so blessed to report that now those kids in Belo, Haiti are receiving a hot meal every day, 5 days a week at lunch. Beyond that, we've improved the school by adding classrooms. We added a kitchen. We put a water filtration system on the roof where kids can get clean, safe drinking water any time of the day.
As teachers, we're really pleased to say that we now pay for the teachers' salaries, and we've been able to give them a raise, and we've even been able to offer two teachers maternity leave, which is really unheard of in Haiti. You know, I just feel so blessed to be a part of a church that can have this far-reaching hand, both close in our neighborhoods, in the city, and across many countries. And just to be able to do God's kingdom work in so many places is such a blessing. And that can all happen through the Heart Check campaign.
Sitting within our comfort zone is not exciting. Getting out of our comfort zone just continues to get us to that place where we know this is what it means to be a Christian. And it is never boring, and it is never without a little risk, but it is so rewarding.
I can't imagine saying no to God. I mean, if God loves you that much that he wants to use you and ask you to do something, to say no, I can't do that. Say yes.
It's a beautiful example of how God can work in and through individuals in powerful ways. And you may not be here this morning on the verge of starting a ministry in another country, but again, how can you be generous this morning in the smallest of ways even? How is God calling you to be a part of his kingdom through your resources, through your time, through your talents? So this morning, we're going to do a formal commitment time. We haven't done this in a few years, and we want to do it together, and I think it's beautifully symbolic of us together as a church moving in one accord, together. Unified by the Holy Spirit, participating with the Holy Spirit in what he is already doing around the world. So you have either been had mailed to you or in the seatbacks in front of you. We don't have enough for everybody in the room, but one card per family, ideally. And we would love for you to take this, fill it out, and in just a minute, over the next song, we're going to place these in these baskets in front of us as a commitment. Now, there's three different ways that you can commit this morning. We've sort of highlighted and talked about those over the past, but let me walk through them again with you. The first is simple, and there's no reason that we can't do this. Everyone in this room, there's no reason we can't do this. And I would highly hope that the majority, if not all, of our congregation can participate in a heart check in at least this way. And the first is this, to pray. That you would pray that God would continue to work in powerful and dynamic ways through our partnerships, through our resources, through our engagement in the community, in the city, and in the world, that God would work. And there's different ways that you can receive prayer requests. There's a prayer email that goes out every week. You can actually get on a list to get specific requests from specific ministries that you may be interested in as well. Maybe there's a certain one that if you look through that pamphlet that we have over on the table that really tugs at your heart, then I would encourage you, reach out to them. We can help you do that and get in information from them and how you can engage specifically in prayer for them. But there's no reason that we can't come alongside these ministries and pray for them. So that's the first way to commit to Heart Check. The second is to serve, to actually step out and use your talents and your abilities to participate with these organizations, to experience life transformation, not only for those that you help serve, but for yourself as well as you go out and serve and build relationships with them. I'll tell you what, this is one of the most powerful things. As we've experienced this chaos in this country over the course of the past month with the shooting in Buffalo and all that's taken place in and around the country, we have ongoing partnerships and relationships with a lot of people who have been affected by this. And so we're not left scrambling trying to figure out what to do, because we can go to them and ask them in tangible ways, how can we continue to help? How can we continue to come alongside? And so maybe you want to engage. And to give you even more information, the meeting that we've been talking about over this month that will take place after our second service at 12 o'clock today over in the community building, I will lay out some tangible ways in which you can almost immediately get engaged in serving. Low commitment, high commitment, all in between that you can serve. And so if that's you, if you want to step out, if you want to do something beyond the walls of this church, I would encourage you to check that box and to serve, and even head to that meeting right after service today. So that's the second box. And the third is the financial commitment. As I've said in the past, we are looking and hoping to raise prayerfully and through faith $750,000 over the course of the next 12 months to give away to these organizations that we are in partnership with. And so we want to do that together as a church. And so we would ask that you would fill this out. The line where it says the amount that you want to pledge, that is your annual pledge. Some people have been doing that wrong. We weren't very clear on that to begin with. So if you've already done this online, you'll probably get a call about that. But we want to know that what you plan to annually give over that those 12 months, and then you can check the boxes below how you want to break that down. But we, again, this is above and beyond tithe. This is above and beyond what we give to the church. It's not a transplant of what you already give. Is God calling you to give something? Anything. A dollar. $2 a week. Whatever it is, it will go, and God will use it exponentially in powerful ways. We can do this together, and we're so excited to what God is going to do through this process. So those are the three options: to pray, to serve, to give financially. Maybe you want to do one of those, two of those, or all three of those. Whatever God is calling you to do, we would love to do that. So we're going to sing this song. I'm going to pray in just a minute, and we're going to sing a song. We are going to sing through the Lord's Prayer. It's a song that you probably haven't heard before, so I would encourage you to sit and listen to the lyrics, and as you are feeling led, walk to the front and place your card in the basket. Now, we don't have enough of these cards here. So if you want to use a prayer card or a Get Connected card, you can use those as well. We would just love for us to collectively have the symbolism of moving forward, committing before the Lord that we want to be a part of this. So place a prayer card, a Get Connected card, or this commitment card in these baskets in front throughout the course of this next song, as we commit together as South Creek, specifically the family that we are. I'm so excited to see what God is going to do through Heart Check this year. We've seen him do incredible things in the past, and we know that he's going to continue to do incredible things as we move forward. Let me pray as we continue this moment in service. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you are here and that we can place our trust and our faith in you. We can be hopeful in you. We can humbly approach you. And Lord, you care about every aspect of our lives. You want us to be in communication with you through prayer. You want us to be doing good works as an outflow of our heart and our salvation with you. And you want us to surrender and live a life of freedom, even when it comes to our finances. And so, Lord, as we continue to move forward, as we participate with the Holy Spirit through Heart Check, Lord, move in our hearts, stir in our hearts, and allow us to be in partnership with you through your grace and your mercy. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And it's in the powerful name we pray all of these things. Amen. So through the course of this song, when you feel right, when you feel led, come forward and place a card in the basket.